As soon as he entered the sacred zone, Muhammad reminded the pilgrims that they were engaged in a strictly religious activity. They must not allow themselves to be carried away by the excitement of homecoming. There must be no facile triumph, and they must put their sins behind them. Now they should make their way to the nearby well of Hudaybiyah, getting their camels to kick up the sand so that Khalid and his men would know exactly where they were. When they reached Hudaybiyah, Muhammad's camel, Qaswa, fell to her knees and refused to budge. The pilgrims yelled at her, trying to make her get up, but Muhammad reminded them of the elephant who had knelt before the Kaaba during the Abyssinian invasion all those years ago, a divine sign that had persuaded the enemy army to turn back without a fight. Something similar was happening today. The one who restrained the elephant from entering Mecca is keeping Qaswa back, he explained. And yet again, he reminded the pilgrims that they were coming in a spirit of reconciliation. Whatever condition the Quraysh make in which they ask me to show kindness to kindred, I shall agree to. Muhammad had never planned to overthrow the Quraysh, but had simply wanted to reform the social system which, he was convinced, would bring the city to ruin. The Quraysh thought that their pilgrimage amounted to a declaration of war, but, like Qaswa, Muhammad was determined to prostrate himself humbly before the holiness of Mecca. The war had achieved nothing of lasting value, and both sides had committed atrocities. This was to be a peaceful offensive, not an invasion. But very few of the Muslims took Muhammad seriously. Keyed up by the excitement and drama of the occasion, they were expecting something spectacular. Perhaps there would be a miracle. Maybe they would enter Mecca in triumph and drive the Quraysh from the city. Instead, Muhammad calmly ordered them to water their camels and sit down beside them. What followed was what used to be called a sit-in. Waiting obediently for permission to enter the city, refraining from violence, Muhammad was demonstrating that he was more in line with Arab tradition than the Quraysh, who had been prepared to kill him while he was making his way unarmed toward the sacred ground. And indeed, the Bedouin got the message. A chief of Quza'a, who was visiting Mecca, rode out to Hudaybiyah to see what was going on. He was horrified to hear that the pilgrims had been denied access to the holy places and went back to the city to protest angrily to the Quraysh. Mecca had always been an inclusive city. It had welcomed all Arabs to the Haram, and this pluralism had been the source of its commercial success. What did they think they were doing? They had no right to bar a man who had clearly come in peace, he complained. But the Quraysh elders laughed in his face. They were prepared to stand between Muhammad and the Kaaba and fight him until their last man had been killed. He may not have come wanting war, they cried, but by Allah he shall never come in against our will, nor shall the Arabs ever say that we have allowed it. At this point, the Meccan resistance to Muhammad was led by Suhail, the pious pagan whom Muhammad had hoped to attract to Islam, and the sons of some of Islam's earliest opponents. Ikrimah, who, like his father Abu Jahil, was implacably opposed to any compromise, and Safwan ibn Umayyah, whose father had died at Badr.